So, as the panel are resuming their seats in the room, let me take this opportunity to welcome and to introduce Kat King, the Federal Member for the electorate of Ballarat and, as I say, Shadow Minister for Health and Medicare. And in a former life, amongst many other areas of experience, a trained social worker, which is certainly something that has stood her in extremely good stead for understanding the dynamics of the social determinants of health, as many of us in this room have taken them up with her. So please welcome Kat King.
Thanks very much for that introduction, and can I start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we gather, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present and future. I'm very conscious that I have a short time today, and I'm standing in between you and lunch, so I will make a few quick comments and then we'll have some time for some questions at the end. Let me start by saying that I think it is a really interesting and challenging time for our healthcare system as a whole. Our healthcare system, of course, it goes without saying, but I think it's important to repeat though, that we are the envy of the world when it comes to our healthcare system, especially our platform of universal access to healthcare. And I think at this particular point in time, it's really important to emphasise we are a system of universal access. There are problems around that, but it is important to keep emphasising that, particularly as we have the World Health Organisation taking a much increased leadership role around universal access. But for our system to stay strong, we need to respond to the emerging issues across the country, and we can't rest on having a good system, we have to have an improved system. In particular, health inequality and unequal access to services needs to be a priority for governments of the future. The last 4 years have unmistakably been a missed opportunity, in my view, for health reform. Our system has stood still in some places and gone backwards in others. And so it's now even more urgent than ever to focus on the health system that Australia needs in 5, 10 to 20 years' time and the steps we need to take to get there. As an example, last year the Commonwealth Fund rated Australia's healthcare system first out of 11 developed countries in administrative efficiency and health outcomes. But in terms of equity, we were down the bottom, number 8. The report noted that while the most prominent disparities in health outcomes are between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and the rest of Australia's population, there are also disparities between major urban centres, rural and remote regions, and across socioeconomic groups. We need to do more to address health inequality. This needs to include a focus on the social determinants of health, and we need a clear vision of how our health system should evolve into the future. For Labor, that vision, of course, will always be focused on Medicare, our universal public health insurance scheme, made up of the Medicare benefit schedule, the pharmaceutical benefit schedule, and free public hospital treatment. 33 years after its introduction, Medicare should, of course, evolve in response to an ageing population, chronic disease crises, and other challenges. These are some of the key challenges that we are thinking about through our policy development work. Because in the next 12 months, with the timing dependent on who you speak to, we will be having an election. And if Labor is elected, our priority will be to strengthen our public health system to respond to these challenges and to ensure that Australians can continue to access high quality and accessible healthcare. To do this, we will need reform and an effort in particular three areas: in primary care, in our hospitals, and in prevention. Now, these aren't the only areas, of course, that require policy focus, but they will be critically important to ensuring our public health system so that it can continue to deliver high quality and accessible healthcare into the future. We can't, of course, do that work alone. We want to work with stakeholder groups, including consumers and groups representing community-based healthcare, primary care, nursing, allied health, public hospitals and aged care and disability. Of course, this session's topic, engaging politicians and governments on the health issues that really matter, fits in well with this theme. So to finish, I want to just quickly give you an idea of how I think we can work together in the lead up to the next election. We know that some of the best health ideas don't come from Parliament House or necessarily from the department. I apologise if there are any department officials here today, but that is the truth. They will come from people who know our health system the best, who've worked for years within that system and who utilise that system. That is, of course,
many of you here in this room. That's why we, of course, have thrown open our thinking. 1 year ago, we hosted a National Health Policy Summit in Canberra that was attended by over 150 of Australia's leading thinkers in health. And that gave us a good sense of the needs and wants that exist across the health system, as well as plenty of policy ideas that we're now considering. Health reform, frankly, in the current climate is not easy. Under both previous Prime Minister Abbott and under Prime Minister Turnbull, we've spent so much time defending our current turf that future reform, frankly, has been largely off the table. Cuts to Medicare, hikes to the cost of medicines, hospital cuts have and continue to dominate the political debates when it comes to health. The budget for prevention has been gutted and the topic, frankly, has really made it onto the public policy agenda of governments, and I include state governments in that to some extent. This is where you do play a particularly important role. Putting health issues that matter back on the agenda is especially important at the moment, and raising an awareness of what is and what isn't happening in the health areas is one of the best things that you can do. With that, I would like to reiterate that we welcome input from you into the development of our policies that we will take to the next election, and thank you for the role that you continue to play each and every day in advocating for a better healthcare system for Australia. Thank you, and I'm very happy to take some questions.
I was wondering if you could outline any plans for how a Labor government might look at health and law policies, particularly with climate change, but also all other policies.
So I'll tackle climate change first. So you would be aware that, I hope you're aware, that Mark Butler and I have already announced that we will, future Labor government will have a health and climate change strategy, and there's already been obviously a huge amount of work done by the sector in that regard, so we have made that announcement. In terms of health and all, I think the interesting thing I've learnt, I guess, over my time in the Parliament, I'm now entering, I think, my 17th year as a Member of Parliament. I've spent time in opposition, time in government, time in opposition again, hoping to spend time in government again as well, is that it's actually getting the health in all policies is actually really dependent on the people who have different portfolio areas. I was delighted, you know, when we're in government to see Anthony Albanese, for example, is a huge champion of building infrastructure that is utilised by people in everyday life, whether it's from biking to walking. And the investments that were made out of that portfolio area there, because he gets it, and he gets that whole notion around building better cities. So in health, the same, you know, we need to understand how we link more integrally with other areas. I'm pretty sure in Jenny Macklin, you will have as a social services minister an extraordinary champion for health. Housing is Doug Cameron. Again, if you look across those portfolio areas, all people who think in that broader systemic way, and I think that's part of the issue, is making sure we've got the right people in place, then making sure that all of our policies line up. We've got a great process internally, which is led by Jenny Macklin, which is our social policy shadow cabinet, that all social policies have to go through. It's great when we have some of the economic guys who are dealing with some of the housing stuff also at the table. That process actually does capture some of that capacity to weave health throughout all of those policies. So I think, you know, whilst you can have all the, you know, here is a document that says Labor will have X, Y and Z, my experience is it's actually driven by the people who actually get and understand this issue. So the more you speak to people outside of the health portfolio, the better. Thanks, Tim. I'll just do it. Yep.
I just wondered if you could comment on two things. One, what you might see as health workforce development in those three priority areas that you mentioned, and also what you might be thinking in terms of better connecting education, the education sector with health in terms of that workforce development and the education and training needs around it.
Yep. it is enormously frustrating to me that we were not able to save Health Workforce Australia from the 2014 budget cuts. Government managed to create an impression that out of our health and hospitals reform process that there was all these great big new bureaucracies, and they basically just came in, cut them, used the money either for budget bottom line. I think there's now two people within the department who are doing the health workforce work. I think there might be one, someone else might correct me with that. A lot of the work that they were doing under Health Workforce Australia is now, I think that's all finished. So there's not this sort of notion about this is the agenda for what our health workforce into the future is going to look like. We are still having a bit of a think about, do you bring a separate statutory agency back? Do you think about putting or embedding it within a broader architecture around health innovation? And again, it's this issue to me that we have this boom and bust sort of cycle within health reform. We get governments that are largely reforming governments and largely they tend to be Labor governments when it comes to the health sector, who come in with big ideas, pharmaceutical benefit scheme, Medicare, the health and hospitals reform initiatives, and then you spend a lot of time building those up. It takes around 3 years election cycles. If you manage to stay in government a bit longer, you can embed some of those reforms in. And then you have lots of cuts or new things occurring. I think what we've got to try and do is embed that. I'm going to stop using the word reform. I'm going to use innovation instead. I think people are a bit exhausted by the notion of constant reform. The reality is it's actually a kind of constant improved thing. So it's really about innovation. So we have to embed that permanent architecture into our system. So having a think, we did make announcements in the last election about how we thought we could do that with a permanent sort of health reform commission of some sort. We're still having a bit of a think about what that might look like in the lead up to the election. I'm very happy to take comments. I know John is very passionate about that particular